Okay, I'm gonna ask you for some grace, okay? I don't hide things. I'm very transparent with you. Sometimes too transparent, where some of you sit back, oh, too much information and stuff. Heather and I are taking off, for a vacation for 6 days in, about 4.5 hours, okay? And, if I wasn't so excited about this message, it would be difficult for me to speak, but I am so pumped for this. And I've told you guys this before. When I preach, I've already had the excitement and the fun of it during the week. God's already knocked my head off during the week. And let's pray. Okay. Father, they don't need to hear from me. Dear God, they do not need to hear from a neurotic pastor, Lord. They need to hear from you. And God, we are so excited because you take the lowly things of this world, Lord God, and you take the weak things to nullify the strong, the foolish things to nullify the wise, the things that are not, Lord, to nullify the things that are. So God, we're encouraged because, Lord, even if we don't have it together, if we put our faith and trust in you, you do great things with it. So that, God, that's got me excited. So Lord, touch our lives now with your word today, with what we're talking about today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I know the subtitle up there might leave you a little unsettled. Just trust me, okay? Stay with us, okay? This is a part two of a 4-part series called Get a Life, okay? Now some of you already know where we're going because we introduced it last week. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, okay? Other translations that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus is about life. Here's another one. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Okay? Now, he didn't come just to give his life. He is life. Look what he says there. I'm the resurrection and the life. Okay? He is life. He's synonymous with life. That's the word. The word teaches that. That's a truth that some of us have a little bit of difficulty getting our head around. Well, I know I'm alive in Christ. Well, he calls himself life. Now, little bit of an exercise here. Let's put up a cute slide. Okay? When you hear the word life, what's the first word that comes to your name? What first thing you think of? When you, life. What do you think of? Life. That cereal that Mikey used to eat? Yeah, I know. Let Mikey eat it. Come on. What comes to your mind? Living, okay. Huh? Joy. What else? Children, yeah. Fishing, okay. Yeah, great. Yeah. Life. It's the real. What? Death, okay. The opposite, okay. Anything else? Freedom, okay. I wrote down a few. Light, okay. Spark. You know, when you get on a horse, the horse has got life, you know. My dad used to use a term called, you ever heard this one? Spismarinkum. That horse, that person's got lots of spismarinkum. Boy, nobody's ever heard of that. Okay, maybe he made it up. Energy, enthusiasm, smiles. You hear life of the party, right? Life of the party. And hope, okay? Where there's life, there's hope. Children, possibilities. Now, all those words, that's Christ. Okay? He is life. Now, I want to go back to one word. And some of you have heard this truth before. And, well, I heard this before. I got to remind you, because I got to remind myself. Hebrews 2:1 says we need to pay more attention to what we already know. Okay? In fact, probably 90 to 95% of you in this room do not even need to hear this message. Okay? You do not need to hear this message. You have heard it all. Okay? There's nothing that I can say that can press you go, wow, never knew that before. You have heard it all. Well, I may as well leave right now. Okay? No, we're not gonna leave because you know that there's something about coming together with the body of Christ that does something. It strengthens you. And we want to be with each other. And because we follow Christ, we realize, you know, I've got this life. And like we saw in the movie last week, This life is not just for me to sail through and have a good time. This life needs to be transferable to people that don't have this life. I got to figure out how to do that, okay? I got to know how to do that. And we're not all that great at it. So we keep interacting for the sake of, because we love life, we love Christ, we want more of that life. Even if I've heard a lot of it before, it's possible that when we worship, when we hear the word, when we are encouraged, when we're in each other's presence, God can do something radical and real in our hearts and minds, even though we're not hearing anything new, but the dynamic of the presence of the Holy Spirit is here and something clicks, okay? Something clicks and people's lives are never the same. I've heard that story hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, people will come up to me and remind me of some innocuous service. I remember you were preaching, this happened, and I didn't think anything about it, but God, bang, you know, and their life was never the same. You know, that happens enough that we get, you know, we think about hope, we think about life. Now, I've said all that to say this. I'm giving you an illustration that a lot of you have heard before, and it's about the word enthusiasm, okay? We know where the word enthusiasm comes from. It's two Greek words, okay? Isn't that a cute picture? Okay, it's two Greek words that, you know, en, which means in, and theos, in God, or God within, okay, filled with God. That's how we get the word enthusiasm. Think about it. Enthusiasm means to be filled with God. Because when God comes in, when life comes in, man, you're not the same anymore, okay? He gave life to just dirt, you know, and made us, we're all here originally from dirt. That's pretty impressive, okay? He is life. And I saw this on the net somewhere. Two little Greek words, put them together and you got enthusiasm, or God within, the secret sauce to authentic awesomeness. Not bad, eh? Yeah, that's what it is, okay? And you thought, all right, John, you're just saying that because you're hyper and you want an excuse. No, that's Bible. That's true, okay? That's true. Now, you've probably heard this line before too, okay? Haven't seen so-and-so for a long time. Heard he got religion. You ever heard that term? Somebody heard they've got religion. Got religion. Okay? You know, and usually got religion means, this is what they really mean, yeah, they're no fun at anymore. They're kind of neutered now. You know, like a brain disengaged and like it's just, you know, they're just not with us anymore. When we talk about Christ, when we talk about get a life, when we talk about what Christ is, we are not talking religion here, okay? We are not talking religion. Now, a lot of people have perceptions of religion and definitions of religion. One of the, probably the most accurate one I've ever heard, and I really like it, it's not going to be in Webster's, but when we talk about the difference between religion and knowing this life in Christ, religion is man's search for God. Most people would agree with that. Most secular people that get their definition from Webster's and everything, they would agree with, yeah, religion, man's search for God. When you talk about the resurrection and the life, when you talk about Christ, you cannot confine him to a religion. Because religion is man's search for God. Christ, the resurrection, the Bible, is Christ searching for man. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't dream this up. God Almighty invaded history, took on the form of a fetus inside a Jewish teenager's womb, okay? And came seeking because he wanted to establish a relationship with us. He wanted us, he said, I have come, why? So that they might have life. Now when he says life, he's really what he means is so they might have me and have me to the full, okay? That's the life that we want. That's what so many people who reject God, they're not even rejecting the real thing. Okay? In fact, I've had this conversation often with people. I'm an atheist. And, tell me what you don't like about God. And they go on. I said, man, I wouldn't want to believe in a God like that either. You know, you're not even rejecting the real God. What are they rejecting? They're rejecting some lifeless, religious, very poor representation of him. Okay? And we were, was it Lenny? Yeah, Lenny and I were sitting on the thing here, and Phil, who's new today, he's a new caretaker, never worked the building before, so it'd be really nice to him, okay? And he walks by, and I think Lenny made a comment of Phil, what do you think of these crazy Christians, or whatever like that, okay? And I kind of like preached at Lenny, you know, while Phil walked away, and said, man, you can't use that word Christian. Because most people, 90%, probably 85, 90% of our culture has got a bad thing when they think about Christians. They have seen horrible representations of this wonderful, spontaneous, enthusiastic life, okay? They've seen, they hear the word Christian and they think repressive, rules, holier than thou, hypocrisy, all that stuff. Now, we'd all be right to say, well, they need to smarten up. Yeah, they do. Just like you did when you discovered the real thing. And until they discover the real thing, until they realize there is a difference between religion and knowing Christ, until they discover it, I hope you're living the real thing in front of them, okay? I hope there's grace. I rarely call the people I hang out with most weeks, okay, and that my crew, my family, my church family, I rarely call you guys Christians. Because I know what the perception is there. Sometimes I say, I meet together a bunch of crazy followers of Jesus, you know. Sometimes I say, when I talk about, what's your church like? Oh, it's not like any church you ever been to. It's really different, you know. And not being cocky, but just churches, so 90% of the churches in this town I wouldn't want to go to. That's not being mean and judgmental. It's just that I'm bored. Okay? I don't care about great music. I don't care about great preaching. I don't care what the presentation is. I want to see the presence of Jesus Christ. I want to see, am I being too persnickety? I want to see humility. I want to see people that don't care about anything else except, I know it sounds selfish, but if I want to see the presence of God and they don't know me, I want to see whether they care about me. When they ask me how I am, do they walk away before I say, my life sucks? You know? I did this once. Heather was there, okay? Pastors' conferences. I started doing this just for fun. Because pastors' conferences is the worst for this. At least the ones the fellowship I came out of. And I don't mean to be judgmental because I've heard most of them are like this, okay? You know? And how are you doing? Fine. You know? Hot, great. Ah, church, got kids. Blah, blah, blah. So I thought, you know, I gotta try something. You know? How are you? Oh man, my wife's having fights with me and I'm addicted to porn, you know? At least 4 cases I had somebody say to me, oh, that's great, great, great. Don't even listen to me. These guys are pastors, you know? And our culture's like that. And some of you, you know me, if I ask you how you are, I want to know. If I want to say hello, I'll say hello. But if I'm asking you how you are, I want to know. Because we love each other. And I like it when people tell me that things are lousy. Good. That means we spend an extra time talking. Maybe we'll pray about it. And when things are really good, good. I want to feed off you because it's not always going good with me and I want some of that good stuff that you've got. Maybe you could straighten me out. Okay? We're not talking about religion here. Okay? Look what the word says. Oh, I love this verse. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Without the resurrection life, without what I'm talking about, pack it in, it's a waste of time. Okay? And sometimes I've been in churches where it's a waste of time. You know? And I know that sounds negative. I don't mean to sound cynical and critical. And this is coming from somebody who's experienced Jesus. Can you imagine somebody who's never experienced Jesus? Of course they don't want to be in an environment like that. You know? Come on, man. I put my clock ahead. Why would I get up in the morning? Are you crazy? You know, give me a reason. What's the best reason for people to join us? Not because Pastor John can preach. Not because the music is good. Not because, well, they meet in a school. I always wanted to meet in a school. Come on. Okay? What's the main reason? You know, those people got something and I want it. Okay? You are a way better advertisement for what the kingdom of God is all about than I could ever be. Ever. You know why? Because I get paid. I'm supposed to talk like this. I make my living doing that. You're here. You're not getting, in fact, it costs you to show up here. We tithe in this place. You mean you pay? I don't charge. I know that, but that's how this thing keeps going, you know? I mean, like, there's nothing in it for you. So if you're showing up and you tell people what you're connected with, your word is 10 times weightier than mine. Way more! Because there's nothing in it for you and yet you still believe. You know? That's life. The resurrection means everything. Okay? Is that what we have? I hope so. Because that's what we traffic in here. That's what we're all about here. Okay? What is that life? That resurrection power. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit. Bible says in various times that the breath of God came on the disciples and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. He breathed life into the dust of the ground. And that's how he created man. The Greek word that we use is pneuma. From the original Greek in the New Testament, it's pneuma. Okay? It means breath. It's where we get the word pneumatic from. Pneumatic pump. You know? Air. You know? Forced air. That is the breath of the Spirit. Now, Matthew, let's go to Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. I use that in the prayer. Here he is. Hi, Jesus. Well, now how does he pull that off? Because when he left, he said he's going to prepare a place for me. Oh, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. But the two are what? It's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Well, I thought it was Jesus. Well, you can't separate them two. You're talking about the Trinity. Okay? The Holy Spirit, you need to know this. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. When I say the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit. Some people think, you know, and you got to blame the shack for this. People got a, you know, like an image of the Holy Spirit as being a woman now, okay? If you could picture him, because the Bible refers to it as a him, okay? If you could picture him, if you could have he's Jesus. He's the Spirit of Christ, okay? It doesn't mean I'm not going to try and figure out the Trinity. I can't, okay? Because like theologians have been trying to figure that out for 2,000 years. They still haven't done a better job, okay? And I think sometimes when God put that in there, I think he had some fun with the angels. Oh, they're just really going to mess them up. They're going to really need faith for this. Yeah, leave it in, okay? Because he doesn't explain it at all. We accept it by faith. We see it. But people have this warped concept of what the Holy Spirit is. They think he's manifestations, that he's an it. He's not. He's Jesus. He's the Spirit of Christ, okay? And what is Jesus synonymous with? Life. He said, I am the life. The Holy Spirit is life. He breathed them the breath of God, the Spirit of God, okay? He's life. And then look what it says here, okay? Don't mean to be nasty, but don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't tick him off. He's love, he's grace, he's all that kind of stuff. But you can quench him as well. Especially if you get familiar with them. Especially if you heard it all before. Okay? You can quench the Holy Spirit. He flows to and through those who are yielded to Him. Well, I'm yielded to Him. None of us are as yielded to the Holy Spirit as we think we are. Have you got that? Let me say that again. None of us, I'm talking to you followers of Christ now, not you rookies. Okay? You rookies, great to have you here. Okay? Listen. You veterans that have been following the Lord for a while, none of us are as yielded to the Holy Spirit as we think we are. Okay? None of us are. So I'm going to say it again. Okay? I'm going to say it again. He flows to and through those who are yielded to Him. To those who are not living for themselves. I know that sounds, I'm giving you a guilt trip and stuff like that. Please, I'm talking to myself. Okay? Because every time I'm living for myself, I'm not living for Jesus. Okay? And he doesn't beat me up. He doesn't turn his back on me. He's got patience and grace and it's wonderful. And you know what? I find I'm having more fun when I'm, God, whatever your will is. It affects your prayers. You're supposed to pray for everything. But more and more I'm finding, you know, God, yeah, do this. But if you got something better in mind, show me. Because your way is always better than mine. Always, 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 always. That's taken a while to learn. Acts. For in him we live and move and have our being. There's a good chorus that goes like that. I may sing it later. I don't know. We'll see. Now, some of you are thinking right now, I'm not like that. Yep. Well, I'm glad you're honest. It's good. Okay. I tell people all the time, who did I say it to today? I think I said it to Karen. Never tell me what you think I want to hear, or somebody. I say, you know I've said that all the time. We don't need superficial nonsense. I would rather have, if you don't like me, I'd rather you being honest to me and telling me, okay? Because we got to work this thing out. The Holy Spirit departs when there's phoniness in a setting like this. The Holy Spirit departs when there's pretension and us trying to be something or not. And you can tell the presence of Christ is powerful in a body like this when people don't feel like they got to have it together every Sunday morning. Do you know how many times I've asked Lenny how he is and he tells me how horrible he is? Because Lenny has learned that you don't crap around with Lenny either, okay? And he doesn't crap around with me. And we have a great relationship because if he asks me how I am, I tell him if he asks. And you know what? And immediately we start working on things. I want people to feel great, but let me tell you, never put on a mask. Let me know how you are so we can pray about it, you know? We can battle together and we can loose the power of God in our lives. I mean, a church where people feel they don't have to be something. In fact, I've said it to a number of people when they showed, how are you? Terrible, lousy. Man, you're in the right place. This is, when you're lousy, you need to be here, okay? Because I think we can do something for you here, okay? We can loose the, and if you're good, when you need to spread it around, okay? I pulled Jean over here, and he already does this anyway, so don't think I'm correcting him. I said, you got to treat everybody like they're having a really bad day. Chances are they not, but, you know, there's a high percentage that they are having a bad day. And when you're interacting with them, you know what? They kind of, the barriers come down, and you could start ministering to them. That's what the life of Christ is all about. It breaks out into areas where there's darkness, okay? I'm not like that. Well, good. You're honest. Following Christ. Listen now. Following Christ. I mean, sinner, saved by grace, blood of Christ. You can't earn it. Yeah, we know that. Okay. But once you give your life to Christ, okay, you're going to be around probably for about 30, 40, 50, 60 years. You know, like, what do you do for the rest of your time? Well, grace, it just went. No, we're following him. And if you're following him, that means, ooh, this better be the Holy Spirit, because if it's not, I'm going to get rebuked, I'm going to get yelled at, you're going to get upset, okay? Following Christ means changing, okay? It means change. We change from what we are into Christ-likeness. It's moving from death to life, moving from death to Christ, because Christ and life are synonymous. I am the life. I'm life, okay? Moving from death to Christ. The more you're with Christ... Oh, there's another one. The more, help me God, the more you're with Christ, the less you get your way. You know what? Oh, I got some yeses. So you've experienced that too. Not as bad as it sounds, is it? You know? You know, I'm old enough now that I'm thanking God for not answering some of the prayers that I just passed. I even fasted over some of those things years ago. You know? Dear God, thank you for not answering that way. The more you're with Christ, the less you get your way. Because your way, when you're with Christ, it changes to better things. Sometimes stranger things, but definitely better things. Better things, okay? Look what it says in Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. That has a tense on it, a time tense on it. When it says, be filled with the Spirit, it's not a one-shot deal. The original Greek implies be continually filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Filled with facts, filled with good teaching, filled with theology, filled with know-how. No, none of that stuff. Filled with life. Filled with life. Now, I told you I was going to talk about the necessity of heavy drinking this morning. Okay, here it comes. Okay. Pastor John introduces the necessity of heavy drinking to Christ Church. Here it comes. Whoever drinks the water, some of you knew this was coming, come on, I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It says whoever drinks, okay? It's not whoever gets squirted with it. It's not whoever gets sprinkled with it. Whoever walks by it and says, oh, what a lovely brook. No, whoever drinks of it, you gotta drink. What do you mean like that? We're talking spiritual illustration here, okay? I'm not talking communion or anything. I'm talking about the presence of Christ here, okay? In our daily lives, we drink of him. We open our heart's door to him. The word says he knocks on our heart's door, wanting to come in. What does it mean to let him in? That means not getting your own way all the time. That means losing the argument every once in a while. That means loving instead of being right. Excuse me. That means showing up because it's the Christ-like thing to do as opposed to, I'm going to feel a lot better myself if I don't. That means living up to your commitment to Christ and to other people. That means loving even when it hurts. Every time you are obedient to the Lord, every time, and especially when you don't feel like it, you're opening the door to him. If you're doing it with a right heart, you know. Because sometimes you could even be obedient to the Lord with a pharisaical heart. Yeah, be obedient to God because I'm a better Christian than you are. Oh, my goodness. You know, there are some people who actually think that. I know that because I thought like that, you know, a few years back, you know, when I was playing all my stupid, like, pharisaical, stupid church games, okay? Now, think of that, me playing all those stupid pharisaical church games, and he still loved me. Yeah, he's a jerk, but you know what? I'm going to work with him. I'm going to stick with him. just like we stick with each other if we're Christ-like. What do we thirst for? If you're thirsty, come and drink. What do we thirst for? We thirst to be right. Oh, we hate being wrong. Doesn't it feel good to be right? Doesn't it feel good to win an argument? Oh, yeah, that's like scoring a hat trick, man. You know, I'm right. Boy, that urge to say, I told you so. I was right all along. Oh, boy. Your flesh just eats that up, man. What do we thirst for? We thirst to be at peace. Oh, I don't want to hear about it, you know. See who's on the cell phone there. No, I'm not going to answer it. Because as soon as I see the phone, I go, yeah, that's an hour and a half I don't have right now, you know. Okay, yeah, been there. We thirst to be content. And so we keep getting stuff, or we keep, you know, we are thirst to be the best. Well, I'm doing my best. Why? So that everybody will think you're wonderful, or because you are so in love with Jesus that he gave you his best and you want to honor him? There's different reasons why you can be the best, you know. Well, I'm doing my best to be first. We thirst to win. We don't want to lose, you know. All that stuff. He says, you drink of me, you will never be thirsty again. Okay? Children of Israel, they're thirsty. They're in the wilderness. You know, they're following God. They're dry and they come to a rock. And it bursts forth, bringing refreshing life. Christ is our rock. And I don't have the scripture up here. And he offers living water. If you go to 1 Corinthians 10:4, Paul uses this exact illustration in the wilderness of how Christ is our rock that we come to. And ever that we need is there. And you can't live without water. And spiritually, you can't live without Christ. Colossians says, before we came to Christ, we were dead. Dead in our sins. Well, we had jobs, you know, we were doing stuff and we interacted. But as far as God is concerned, dead. No life outside of Christ. In Canada, we have it all. We have it all. I don't know, the last time I checked the stats, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. But the poorest 10% or 15% in the people that live below the so-called poverty line in Canada, okay? The people that live below or at the poverty line are still more well off than 85% of the rest of the world. The rest of the world! That's how blessed and how wealthy we are. You remember the Springsteen tune? I'm not a big Springsteen fan, but 57 channels and nothing on, you know? That song was written 20 years ago before like the explosion of internet and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything. It'd be more accurate to be able to say 75 million channels and nothing on. Thank you, Bruce. Okay? Blind. All of Canada, most of Western culture that has it all is blind to the problem. Ooh, Doug Ford's the new conservative leader. Oh, utopia. Hallelujah. Dear God, deliver us from such thinking. And I'm not knocking Doug Ford, okay? If you think salvation's going to come because you got the right political leader, dear God, we're not praying hard enough for you, okay? This has got nothing to do with what goes on in culture. This has everything to do with who created us, okay? And who knows how we function and knows our needs and our desires and wants better than we ever will, okay? In fact, he's trying to get us out of the way so some of those diseases, those desires and wants can be unlocked. There are thrills that can be experienced in our lives that you will never know were possible until Christ is, he is Lord. And that's something that we keep making him in our life. It doesn't just have, okay, he's now Lord. Well, if that works for you, that's great. Not the way it works for me. I have to keep making him Lord all the time. All the time. I get a lot of help and I'm thankful for it, but, okay? Our culture's blind to the problem because they're blind to their own sin. And there's only one cure. We know what that cure is. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, Ephesians says. So what? So what? Good question to ask. Whenever you hear a message, you should end, so what, counsel? So what? Okay, I'm going to answer that question. So what? We're a little obsessed with Jesus Christ here, okay? No, not a little. We are very much obsessed with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things you can get obsessed with. I put before you today that the only thing that will make you healthier, socially, psychologically, physically, in every way, spiritually, the only thing that you can be, have a healthy obsession with is Jesus Christ. Especially in a group of people, because we'll send off the rough edges on you, okay? We'll kind of help you with that. How can you tell if you really have that living water? Okay? Are other people seeking you out? Are they coming to you for advice, for friendship, or are you shunned? Okay? That may not be the only reasons, but my grandmother, when, you know, and I was brought up in church life, and, you know, you'd run into some difficult people in churches, and my grandmother used to say about people that were struggling or that way were, oh, I guess they need another dip in the fountain. You know what that means? When we get together, like today, like story time, like prayer meeting, when we get together, spiritually speaking, we splash around, okay? Like a big water park. Presence of Jesus is the living water, and we engage in it. In fact, I was thinking, you know, we called this place Christ Church, and I think that's the right name. I think it honors God. But if I had to start another church, I think I'd call it the Splash Pad. What do you think, eh? You know, because that's where the presence of the living water flows. Somebody's got that somewhere. I'm sure in North America there's a church called the Splash Pad. I'm getting into a habit here. Every time I end a message, it's corny hymn time, okay? Okay, corny hymn time. Just look at it. How many know this one? Put your hand up. Hal, you and I are only the ever ones that ever know. LaDonna knows too, okay? You don't have to sing, but I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame. I want to stop here because these are great lyrics. I don't put the corny hymns up because we need to sing more corny hymns. No, that's, please, you know? Thank you, Chantel and Jean and Don and Julian. Praise the Lord. And Hal and Phil and Rich and everybody else that's involved with worship. I have no complaints whatsoever. God bless them. Okay. That's not what this is about. But you know, while I'm preaching, I get these songs that when I sung as a kid, and I think I'm appreciating them more now because I'm looking at these lyrics. Look at this. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. Until one day the cross came where springs of living water did abound. Now I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. There's three verses. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. They make me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and beauty mark the path I've trod. I think it's a blessing. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Hallelujah! That's obnoxious. I'm sorry. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water. A wonderful and bountiful supply. And then we'd always, you know, here's the punchline. Here's the net. Here's the, you know, the draw at the end. Oh, sinner, point at somebody. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. That's my grandmother. Another dip in the fountain. The Savior now invites you to the water free where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water. A wonderful and bountiful supply. I'm going to tell a story that I've told at least two times before. You've heard this story, okay? But there might be 20-30% of you that never heard this. My grandkids are here today. Their mom, Lindsay, when she was in grade one, she came home from the bus, and she was really wide-eyed. And Heather could tell something was up. How are you? Mom, guess what? What? They're going to have a dance at school. Really? Yeah. Why are you so excited? Because I thought the only dancing we did was in church. All right, eh? Okay. Because she was raised with, I got a river of life flow. No, in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. Make a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord, tell him of your love, dance before him. We sang that every week. And she'd go for it, you know. Heather remembers at the back of the church when she was cutting a rug, sitting in the back row, because you know when you get lots of little kids, you'd sit at the back because they make noises and when you take them out so they're not disturbing anybody. And during the worship time, she's out in the, like, Lindsay's just going for it. And Heather kind of wanted to restrain her, and she got rebuked by some 80-year-old lady who said, don't you stop her, we ought to all be dancing like that. Not bad, eh? Not a bad church. Not bad, okay? It's a splash pad. Shut your eyes. Shut your eyes. God, people are smiling. That's good. And Lord, a lot of us are carrying loads. We're not in denial of reality. But Lord, wherever we are, how dry we are, Lord, you are the water that brings life. Lord, don't let us quench your spirit. However we receive your word today, however we receive the reality and the truth that you don't just bring us life, you are life. You are synonymous with life. God, Lord, if we're shutting you out, Lord, in this church, show us where. If we're shutting you out in any way in our lives, show us where. You're not hard. You're not, God, you're not sitting there with a baseball bat ready to crack us whenever we do something wrong. You're life, God. And anything that you would take away and anything, Lord God, that you would bring correction for, it's only because you want to multiply more of that life, Lord. Lord, some of us might even have wrong perceptions of what that life is. God, flush the stuff that isn't of you away and replace it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And make us really, really, really good, Lord, at letting that water, that life flow through us to others, God. God, make us better at that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.